Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verses 1 to 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 to 15. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh for wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all that is of his labour. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which has been now, and that which is already been, and God requireth that which is past. They put on a title there, A Hidden Life. In Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2 and chapter 3, we see living for anything, everything is meaningless. Living for pleasure, pleasure is meaningless. Living for work, work is meaningless. So what's the good of living? What is life for? Why not just lie down and die? What does Scripture say about on this subject? Revelations 4:11. Revelations 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. For thy pleasure they are and were created. And then Colossians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 3. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. But we have a look further at Genesis 3. Verses 1 down to 17. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of any of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, Ye shall surely not die. For God knoweth that in the day ye eat it, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee not to eat? And the woman said, the man said, The woman who thou gavest to me, she gave of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life. And so that is the prelude of what we have here in Ecclesiastes. So whatever circumstance or situation we find ourselves in, whether good or bad, be it sorrow or joy, hardship or ease, or in case hardship or ease or love or hate, God knows the attitude and response of our hearts. That is, do we follow or react in a positive or negative fashion? Is it an immediate or wait and see? God is omniscient. That is all. That is all knowing. So 1 John chapter 3:20 says, For whatever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. So, and then we have a look in Psalm 147 verse 5. It says, Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Let us remember that even God, before God created all things, God already knew what our hearts and thoughts and our desires would be. He already knew our plans and our needs. So here in Ecclesiastes verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die. So a human pregnancy is 9 months long. An elephant is pregnant for 18 to 22 months, while a rabbit is 28 to 33 days. Once a pregnancy has started, you can't say, that time is not convenient. Let's just add on another 2 months to the time when our holidays start. So we can't change things just because it's inconvenient. God is a preordained situation for our lives. And a time to die, we see in Hebrews chapter 9 and 27, it's foreordained once for a man to die, and then comes the judgment. Now, someone may say, well, how about the person who has a heart attack and he dies, and then they do CPR on him and bring him back to life? But I think that God has already had a plan there. God already knew about that person is going to have a heart attack and he's going to be revived. It's always God's plan, giving that a person another chance to repent, surmising he's not a Christian, doesn't believe in God. Just imagine that person is so hard-headed and refuses to turn to the Saviour, and then he dies again permanently. He dies never to be revived again. There's no more opportunity for him to seek God's mercy. So God has got all this in his timing and in his planning. And a time to plant and a time to harvest. It's a delight to see the fruit of our labour when we can go out and pick the peas, pick the beans and sweet potatoes and so forth. So harvest is God's richest physical provision for our bodies. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. When Adam and Eve sinned, God killed an animal so that they could be clothed with the animal skin. Henceforth, the animal sacrifices were regularly killed, right up to the time that the Prince of Glory was killed on the cross, that we might experience eternal life. On the practical side, after the great flood, animals could be killed so to feed mankind. All this is God's pre-planned time and will. And then we have breakdown and build up. Could be demolishing a house so you can build a new and better house. And then it also can be where a person is disciplined over sin so as to be restored to fellowship, be brought back into the fold, so to speak. Verse 4, time to weep and a time to laugh. We read in Luke chapter 19 that the Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem because of their sin, and the people there would not repent. Then again the Lord wept at the grave of Lazarus. His weeping showed his sorrow, but also his humanity. You get people who say that the Lord Jesus was not human. He was just a spirit. But it shows here that he was human, as we also see that he was eating food and he's sleeping. So He knows all about our needs. In John chapter 1, it says God became flesh. And then again, a time of laughter and a time of enjoyment. Just think about when Isaac was offered up for sacrifice, and it was before that when Rebecca laughed because she said that how is she going to give birth when she's already old, and so Isaac, it means laughter, or he who laughs. Just think about the people who talk about everything in the world. It evolved over millions of years. Sure, there are big cats and there are small cats, but they're all still cats. They're not evolving into zebras, and or they're not growing horns. So on the laughing bit, God, you read in Psalms 2, God in the heavens laughs. So God knows all about these things. God has a sense of humour. In verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. When the people of Israel went into Canaan, Achan sinned. So in judgment, Israel stoned him and his household with stones. But then there is a time when stones are useful. I've seen pictures of England and Wales and Scotland and right across Europe, where there are lots of places where fields and paddocks are divided up with stone walls. And then you have buildings, homes made of stone. Went to Midland a couple of months back to see he is dying. He hasn't died yet, but he's dying. He's got M&D. And they were living in a stone house. It was an old house. And so it was made of stone. It was nice and cool. And so stones are useful. And so it's a time to cast away stones, a time to gather them up, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. It's you see people, especially at funerals, after someone's died, and embrace. When my mum died, all of us brothers and sisters, or one sister and my dad, when mum breathed the last breath, we all cried and we had a cuddle together, hugged together. So it's a time to embrace and it's time not to embrace. So back there about that rock again, the Lord said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And so the Lord Jesus himself is a rock as well. Verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. There are times when the Lord will test our love, obedience and our faith. The children of Israel were fed with manna and quail. Then after a time, they complained about God's provision. They didn't like it anymore. Abraham was told to go and offer up his son Isaac, and we see his faithfulness. So, in verse 7, and a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. We see Rehoboam when he was approached by the people of the land to release them of the burden that Solomon had laid upon them. And he says, come back in so many days and I'll give you my answer. And then he asked the young men that he grew up with what he should do. And they counseled him the opposite. And as a result, he followed the young men's advice. And as a result, Judah and Israel were torn apart. And that was for 3,000 years up to this day. But God, in his grace and time, will sew the nation back together in this, the last days. The Lord said, don't cast your pearls before swine. But then there's a time when we can impart guidance or explain the gospel and the need to turn to God. In verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Matthew 22, Matthew 22:37. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God of all thy heart and all thy soul and of all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that reflects back to Deuteronomy 6. We remember also John 3:16, where God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the Lord Jesus, that if we believe in him, we will inherit eternal life. And that goes also right through scripture. When it comes to war, we're in war at the moment against the powers of darkness, remembering that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. But peace comes when the Prince of Peace, he comes into the lives of believers. His peace he gives freely unto those who receive him. Verses 9 and 10. What profit have he that worketh and he laboureth in? I've seen the travel which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. There's, you read in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 18. And the labourer is worthy of his hire. We might take this verse in a physical sense, but there is a spiritual side as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 tells of fellow workers. Paul had of Apollos. Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Then he had numerous other workers, fellow workers as well. Without going into all of them, we know there's a lot of fellow workers. And so it is with us today. We as Assembly here at Wilson, we all are fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Verse 11. I know there's no good in them. Verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Romans 11:33. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, who have been his counselor? For who have first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, through him, and in him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So, God created the light, the heavens, the earth, the animals, and the birds, and the sea creatures. God created the plants. In Genesis chapter 1, we see that five times God saw that it was good. Then on the sixth day, God created man, and everything that he had done was very good. Romans chapter 1 tells us that mankind looks upon the created and puts emphasis on the creatures and creation in general rather than the God who was and still is the creator. And so they worship the creation rather than the creator. And it's become more and more focused in my mind as I see things in the Middle East and Southeast Asia in particular, where there are idols which they say are gods. They're images of created things. And so it didn't really connect with my mind until I saw these things that they worship. And these are our gods. Hindus have, 30 million gods or something like that, I understand. Verse 12, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labour. It is the gift of God. With every activity that comes our way during the day, we can have a positive or a negative attitude toward that experience or communication. We see the glory of God or submit to the way of the worldly desires. We discover in verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labour is the gift of God. So we discover in Acts chapter 10 that the apostle Peter was hungry as he waited for lunch to be prepared. So you get people who turn their nose up on all sorts of food. I don't want that. But you go up to the floor's place, and they feed you witchetty grubs, grasshoppers, and grass. There's a thistle, and they pick the thistle leaves. It's a particular thistle, not just any old thistle. And those thistles of leaves are like spinach. And there's Max Jamieson once, he gave us some sweet potato runners. And I told him about eating the leaves. He said, Roy. Now you have it, you have it. He wasn't going to eat the sweet potato leaves. And so it's, if it fits in your mouth, you can eat it. It's God's provision. Whatever is set before you, eat it. Verse 14, I know whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it nor taken from it. And God doeth it, and that men should fear before him. So whatever God has planned, said, and created is complete. It can't be changed. It can't be modified or made better. Well, you do have people who do modifications where they modify crops, for example, but it's still a crop. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So everything is from God himself. That which has been now and which is already been, and God requires that is past, which is past. Have a quick look at 2 Corinthians. Two Corinthians five and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. And so God requires accountability for what we've done, what we've been, what we've spoken about, and what we desire in our hearts. And so what should be our response to God's provision, plans, and direction? That we already read in Colossians chapter 3. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So our heading for the day was, what was it again? A hidden life. So our life is hid in Christ. And then also 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. Whatever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. There was a time when I was a new believer, a new Christian, and I read this out to a friend, and he said to me, "You've been on that for months." Like I should have a new verse by now. But that's what God desires of us. And that is basically, in my mind, the crux and the purpose of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Whatever we do, whatever we drink, whatever we eat, wherever we go, whatever we say, should all to be the glory of God. And whatever we eat, is for him. And God has a plan for us and requires that we obey God in all things. We desire quite, and from time to time, or quite often, to pick and choose what we want to do. We want to follow this one, we want to follow that one. But God requires obedience in all things, not just the good bits or the easy bits. God requires obedience and loving kindness in everything. Shall we close in prayer? Now, Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your loving kindness, goodness, and your help in all things and all times. Remember that you have a perfect plan for each and every one, and especially for those who have put their trust in Christ Jesus. We do pray for those who, family members and friends, people who come to visit Wilson and gone away for various reasons and not believing on the Lord. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will work in the lives of these, our friends and neighbours and family members who are as yet unsaved, that they will come to a perfect understanding that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and today is the day of salvation, today is the day of believing on the Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding also as we seek to impart these things unto others in these last days, and even more urgently as we see the times are dire and the times are imminent for the Lord's return. So we thank you for giving us opportunity to come together today for the hymns and the fellowship, the Word of God. We do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.